Chapter 17. Bacoth and I stood by Third as the sandy-haired gnome led the Grimthorn gnomes in the guttural chants, and the vine wall began to shrink and pull apart. Meanwhile, a shouted conversation between myself and one of Ekname's fast runners over the barrier had revealed that the Dolrath and the Karardu armies had put down the Yeni army. When Samrila had magically announced their leader was dead, many of the Yeni generals surrendered, while others seemed to wake up from a trance and laid down their weapons. There was still a lot of shouting on the other side of the barrier, but that was largely because most of the soldiers hadn't recovered their hearing yet. As Third and his spike keepers continued their work, Chatteron walked up to me with a serious expression on his face.
"Shield brother."
The bald elf respectfully inclined his head. "How's everyone doing?" I asked.
"Our unit sustained only minor injuries for the most part,"
the slim man reported.
"Anadan took a sword blow, and he's bleeding pretty badly."
"How badly?" I tensed as I wondered if he would be the third man in his family to die under my command.
"Once we get him the Karardu healers, he should be fine," Chatteron assured me. "I've Ezreal applying pressure to the wound to stem the flow."
"Good," I nodded. "Let's make sure to get him help as soon as the gnomes can move these vines."
"Yes, shield brother,"
the bald archer replied.
"The brownies suffered the heaviest losses. 8 of their warriors were crushed or mortally injured when they tried to attack Ursinger."
"We owe them a lot," I said as I rubbed my chin. "Their sacrifice bought us precious seconds. I hate to think what would have happened if Ursinger had been able to throw that ball of fire he tried to summon."
"Indeed,"
Bacoth agreed in a dry tone. "Thank you, Chatteron," I added. "You've done great work today." The bald elf bowed and left to look after Anadan as his wives came up. Amrila and Nylame both had bits of twigs and leaves in their hair, and dirt coated their armor from where the first explosion had knocked them both to the ground. But other than that, they only had minor cuts and bruises, and I gratefully took them both in my arms.
"You two are fucking amazing,"
I rumbled as I held them close.
"As are you,"
the princess sighed in my ear.
"My mighty warrior."
"I lost count,"
Amrila pouted as she rested her head against my chest.
"What?"
I snorted and looked down at the Zinkari woman.
"The bet!"
Amrila scrunched her eyebrows in a look of mild disappointment.
"You probably would have won anyway, since you got the killing shot on the Mad Chief. He'd have been worth at least 20 kills, but since Nylame and I helped, I think we should get half credit for him."
"I'm sure we'll all get plenty of credit," I laughed as I squeezed the horned woman closer. Then the spike keeper's grunts hit their height, and the openings appeared between the vines. Third focused on the vine before him, and spread his hands apart with visible effort as he began to sweat, and a vein stood out in his forehead. As the spiked veins parted, I saw Ekname and Murdrak with their armies behind them, and the soldiers from both armies began to cheer, stomp their feet, and beat their weapons against their shields and breastplates as they saw us.
"Allies!"
Bacoth shouted in a voice that carried over the noise.
"Eddie Hill, shield brother of the Dolrath, king of the Tektris forest goblins, vampire of the gloom, slayer of pitworms, basilisks, and demons, tamer of garms, hero of Tarkfet, and high warden of Grimthorn, has destroyed the Mad Chief! All hail the Chief Slayer!"
All hail the Chief Slayer!
The soldiers cried out.
All hail the Chief Slayer!
"You just couldn't help yourself," I snorted as I shot a look at the hawk-faced man. "Could ya?
Enjoy it."
Bacoth grinned roguishly as he slapped me on the back.
"You are a legend now.
Maybe add Light of the Great Forest next time,"
Scourge bantered as he stepped up next to me.
"Ooh,"
Bacoth smirked.
"I like that."
I chuckled and rolled my eyes as I walked away from the two men, and my wives followed me as I approached the Night Elf chiefs.
"The storytellers will sing of this day for hundreds of years to come."
The ancient Karardu chief smiled as he looked up at me.
"Thank you all,"
Ekname intoned.
"But most especially you, my son. We would like to see the body of the Yeni chief now."
I led them both to where Ursinger laid with his face in the dirt, and his loose flesh pooled in grotesque folds around his limbs now that he was back to his normal size.
"We will cut off his head and stick it on a pike,"
the Dolrath chief said with a grim smile on her face.
"Then march into the Yeni capital with it held before us, as proof that Ursinger's tyranny has come to an end."
"Sounds like a plan to me." I grinned before I remembered Slake's warning. "But after he's been paraded around, I think we should burn the body, just to be safe."
"It will be done,"
Ekname nodded. The Yinni generals and soldiers were held as prisoners, regardless of whether or not they'd surrendered, until the two chiefs could sort out their true loyalties. Then, once the wounded were seen to and could be safely moved, we moved north toward the capital city. Anadan, cured by Karardu magic, was given the honor of carrying Ursinger's head as he marched next to me and my friends in the vanguard. Meanwhile, Chatteron and Therius kept close to me, with arrows nocked to protect me under Ektame's orders. "I'm glad you're all right," I said to Anadan. "Your father and uncle would be proud."
"Thank you, shield brother."
The red-haired swordsman grinned as his face glowed with pride.
"Once I show the girls in the encampment the scar down my side, I'll find a wife for sure."
"Oh, please."
Amrila giggled.
"A scar like that will fetch you 3 wives at least."
"Truly."
Anadan's blue eyes sparkled as the idea sparked his young imagination. It was a long march, but within a day and a half we reached the gates of the capital. The army stopped before the closed gates, and I saw movement along the battlements as the Yinni guards spread the word of our arrival.
"Open the gates!" I shouted, unsure what had possessed me. "Ursinger the tyrant is dead, and we have come to restore peace to the city."
"Hold up the head good and high, Anadan," Bukoth suggested. "Make sure the fools on the ramparts can see it."
The elf with the bright red hair held up the pike as high as he could, and a few moments later, I could hear the sound of large gears as the city gates slowly swung open. I moved forward, and the armies followed me through the streets of the Yinni capital. As we marched on the palace, the people of the city began to come out into the streets as word spread. Many cheered and clapped as they saw the Mad Chief's head, while others held each other and sobbed with relief. But I did notice a few elves, here and there throughout the city, who looked concerned or stared at me with open hatred. There was a lot of work ahead here. As I mounted the steps to the audacious palace, the Yinni guards at the doors opened them without a word and bowed to me. The soldiers of my unit kept close to me, and we were followed by the other chiefs and their personal guards. The entrance of the Yinni palace was huge, with marble floors and 2 sweeping staircases that led to the upper floors. Ursinger's crimson banners hung everywhere, and several statues of the Mad Chief dotted the entrance hall as mute evidence of the man's vanity. In the center of the hall, there was a night elf woman in a thin, gauzy dress. The curvy woman's auburn hair was elaborately curled and cascaded down her back and shoulders. The dress did almost nothing to cover the elven woman's body, and she was undeniably beautiful. But there was something about her spoiled expression that immediately repulsed me.
"Oh, my lord!"
the woman gasped in a dramatic tone.
"You have freed me from the grip of my mad brother!"
As the woman ran forward and threw herself at my feet, I realized she was Ibsith's half-sister, the one who'd gone along with Ursinger's perversions. The auburn-haired woman gripped my legs and looked up at me with what she probably thought was a seductive look, but my skin began to crawl.
"How may I ever repay you?"
the half-naked woman simpered. "Nope!" I shook my head and looked away from the Yinni princess. "Get her off me!" Amriel and Nylame both took the entitled elven woman by her slender arms, and when she didn't let go right away, my Dolrath wife punched the woman hard in the face.
"No!"
The petulant woman screamed and suddenly dropped the demure act.
"What have you done? You've ruined my beautiful face!"
My wives pulled the woman off me, and I looked at her as blood ran from her broken nose. "I'm not interested in Ursinger's hand-me-downs," I replied in a savage tone, and then I looked at some of my soldiers over my shoulder. "Take her into custody and see if she knows anything useful. Then Murdrak and Ektame can decide what to do with her." Cannel and Chatteron took the screeching woman from the hall, and I turned to look at the chiefs. "What now?" I asked. I'd never taken over a city before, so I'd no idea what to do next.
"Friend Scourge,"
the Dolrath chief said to the Zinkari thief,
"you have contacts in the city who can provide us with information, correct?"
"Yes, my lady."
The gray-skinned man nodded.
"Then I would like you to work with us to root out any of Ursinger's loyalists who might remain in the city,"
Ektame replied.
"But for today, we will set a guard around the palace and celebrate our victory. Bukoth, please organize the generals and captains from both armies to secure the palace, and then join us for the feast."
It took a couple of hours for the soldiers to sweep the palace, but then a large group of us gathered in the throne room, and food and wine were carried in from the Yinni chief's personal stores. I started to relax for the first time in months. Sure, there was still a lot to do, and I still had the demon lord Belzat to worry about. But I believed that I'd faced some shadow of the demon when Ursinger transformed into the black-skinned monster, and I'd come out the other side. I felt confident that my friends and I would be able to defeat Belzat
when the time came. My wives and I lounged on lush pillows as we ate and drank together, and Ekname half reclined on a pile of pillows of her own next to us as she sipped wine from a golden goblet.
I have been thinking, son,
the Dolrath chief said in a quiet voice as she looked at me.
Ibsith is the last of the line of Yeni chiefs, and as her husband, you have a right to this throne.
Really? I asked as I thought about that idea, but then I shook my head. Honestly, I think we're going to have to come up with something else. I don't think Ibsith will have any interest in returning to the Yeni territory. And for me, I don't think I'd make a good chief. I'll think about it, but in the end, I feel it'd be better to find someone else to take over.
Murdrak and I will appoint a regent for now,
Ekname said.
But the Yeni people will have difficulty accepting anyone outside of the line of chiefs.
I nodded as I looked around at my friends. Bakoth and Scourge sat together with Anadan and Zuag, and the four men laughed together as the young elf showed off his new scar. It was good to see everyone happy and well. The scarred brownie leader and several of his men had climbed onto a table and gorged themselves on a bowl of strange fruits, and I saw Therius and Cyneath as they played a drinking game with Third and some of his spike keepers. This was what we'd fought for, a world filled with laughter, friendship, and peace, and a warm sense of accomplishment filled my chest as I drank my fill of my fallen enemy's wine. My wives and I spent the night in the palace, and then we got up early the next morning to head home and tell Ibsith the good news. First, though, we made the rounds and said our goodbyes. As Nylame said farewell to her mother, I found Zuag. The orc captain looked badly hungover and sat at a table in the throne room with several passed-out brownie warriors. Bulra wanted me to tell you that she loves and misses you, I said as I sat down with the big man. She's doing well, though. Ibsith loves her and has probably spoiled her rotten by now.
That's good to hear.
Zuag smiled, but his eyes still seemed a little bleary from the celebration yesterday.
Bulra deserves to be spoiled. My sister's always put others before herself.
I'll bring her back to you soon, I promised, as I looked for a piece of fruit that hadn't been nibbled on by the brownies.
Really?
The captain asked with a note of surprise.
I'd assume that by now.
The dark-haired orc left the sentence unfinished as he leveled a direct look at me. Oh, I said as I caught on. Nothing's happened. I'll be honest with you, though. Bulra is an incredible woman. It's kind of impossible not to fall for her.
You're a good man.
Zuag chuckled as he took a drink from a gold goblet.
Others have tried to court her, but she would get a faraway look on her face and say that they were not meant for her. If anything should happen, though, you above all others would have my blessing.
That means a lot. I chuckled. I said goodbye to the captain and went to look for Bakoth and Scourge. The Zinkari man was easy to find, and as I entered the entrance hall, I saw the thief was busy ripping into a group of soldiers.
Have you no sense of subtlety, man?
The slinky-horned man spat as he looked at a hardened Dolrath warrior.
You cannot just bosh a few heads together and expect to get information. Your job is to imply the threat of violence, not come out of the gate with it.
Everything okay? I snorted as I walked up to Scourge.
Yes.
The Zinkari sighed as he shot a withering look at the group of soldiers.
I was just instructing these walking cudgels in the finer arts of interrogation. Dismissed.
The soldiers walked away as Scourge huffed and calmed himself. We're about to leave, I said in a low voice. But I'd like to come back soon and keep my promise about the visit.
That would be a fine thing,
the thief said in a wistful voice.
My primary drive is curiosity, and the idea of seeing your home will get me through having to work with these meathead soldiers.
I'm glad I can give you something to look forward to. I grinned.
Be well, Eddie.
Scourge replied without a hint of his usual sarcasm. You too, Scourge. I nodded. I'll see you soon. Then I went back to the throne room, where Nylame spoke with Ekname, and Amrila and Bakoth were with them. Are we ready? I asked.
Yes, my mighty husband.
The Dolrath princess smiled and then hugged her mother one last time. I'm sure we'll be back before long, I said to the hawk-faced man and shook his hand. Give my best to your wives and kids.
I'm sure Vylvi and Fika will want to thank you with another dinner,
the general replied.
Please offer my highest regards to Lady Ibsith.
With Ursinger gone, hopefully you'll be able to offer them to her yourself soon. I grinned. Take care. Ekname ordered an honor guard of soldiers to see us out of the city. There hadn't been any trouble yet,
but it would take a while to ensure that none of the Mad Chief's followers remained in the city. But once we were a couple of miles away from the capital, I ordered the men to go back. I didn't want anyone to follow us to the Great Forest, so the way to the Iron Door could remain a complete secret. My wives and I also made better time now that we weren't slowed down by a larger group. Before long, we entered into the surface tunnels. When we came out of the metal trapdoor, the sun was bright overhead, and Amrila and Nilame had to pause to put on their sunglasses. I squinted in the sunlight as my eyes adjusted, and then I heard a series of happy barks as Growler rushed up to welcome me home. A moment later, Ipsith ran out of the back of her house and threw herself in my arms, and I swept her up and spun her around as she covered my face and neck in kisses.
Oh, my king!
She purred, but she was careful not to shout with joy so the neighbors wouldn't overhear.
You're home and safe!
I saw happy tears stream down her little face, and then I gently wiped them away as I set her down. It's done, I told the violet-eyed woman in a low voice. He's gone.
Really?
Ipsith breathed with a look of disbelief.
Ursinger is dead.
I nodded, and my wife buried her head in my chest as I held her close. You and the baby are safe now, I said, and I was elated to finally be able to utter those words. You're safe. Then I looked over my petite wife's head and saw Bulra in a flowery blue dress with a halter neckline as she smiled at me. A few moments later, Ipsith let go of me and giggled as she looked at her fellow wives.
Oh!
The white-haired woman cooed.
I'm so happy to see all of you. Come inside. I'm going to cook all of you the biggest feast.
Amrila, Nilame, and I all took showers, while Ipsith and Bulra got to work in the kitchen. Then we gathered around the table and told the curvy elf and the pretty orc about the battle in the Great Woods. It was only mid-afternoon, but I thought we'd earned a little day drinking, and I saw that Ipsith had stocked the fridge with plenty of beer in preparation for our return. Once my first wife had gotten everything together, we moved outside to grill and enjoy the mild weather one last time before the weather broke. After the grueling battle, it felt fucking amazing to return to the normalcy of a cookout with my family. Growler and Dredd chased each other around the huge yard, and I snuck them a couple hot dogs while the women sat in lawn chairs and drank beer, or finished up the side dishes while I grilled steak, marinated chicken breasts, and hot dogs. Then we spent the rest of the day in the yard as we chatted and joked. When evening fell, I built a little fire in the backyard to keep us warm, and Ipsith went into the house to get everyone another round of beers. Nilame and Amrila talked over the troll maneuver and tried to see if they could find a way to refine it further, and Bulra approached me while I cleaned the still-warm grill.
I knew you were the light in the forest,
the mystic said in an airy voice as her cozy cardigan hung just off her slim shoulders. Scourge wants to add it to my list of titles, I snorted. Hopefully it doesn't stick. I've gotten more names than I can remember already.
You deserve them all,
the beautiful seer insisted.
You're a great man in troubled times.
I guess, I replied with a modest shrug. Except for the Goblin King bit. That's just a joke that got out of hand.
You may not be a goblin,
Bulra giggled.
But you are a king in your own way.
Ipsith thinks so. I grinned. I told Zuag you missed him. He misses you too. If you like, I can take you back in the morning. I'm not in any rush to have you go, but I don't want to be selfish and keep you from your people.
You're the least selfish man I know,
the shaman breathed.
But I'll admit that I'll be sad to leave this place. I've come to love Ipsith. And you.
Bulra held her breath as she watched my face, and I was stunned as I realized what the gorgeous green-eyed woman had just said. Then I pulled Bulra close and kissed her as the electric jolt of desire between us was finally satisfied. It was good to be home. End of Book 5.